Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Only two things are inevitable, said a wise person a long time ago. They, of course, are death and taxes. Someone saw a road on a sign in Oklahoma demanding that we pay no taxes. That sign was placed along a federally funded interstate highway. There is no free lunch, according to The Economist, but still some people want the privileges of citizenship without its attendant responsibilities. At least the pain that we feel is universal. The people of Jesus' time felt pretty much the same way about taxes. But paying taxes was even more problematic for them. One thing, they had to use Roman currency to pay their taxes. Roman coins bore a graven image of Caesar. A devout Israelite would not even carry a Roman coin because it was considered a violation of the commandment against graven images. So the currency was one problem. But even a bigger problem was the tax system itself. According to Bible scholar William Barclay, a tax was payable for using the main roads, the harbors, the markets. A tax was payable on a cart, on each wheel of the cart, and on the animal which drew the cart. A tax collector could stop a man on the road, make him unpack his bundles, and charge him well nigh whatever he liked. And if the man could not pay, sometimes the tax collector would offer to lend him money at an exorbitant rate of interest, which would only get him further into the tax collector's clutches. We complain about the IRS, but believe me, they are sweethearts compared to the tax collectors of Jesus' time. Taxes, then as now, are just a way of life. So Pharisees tried to lay a trap for Jesus. They sent their disciples to say, "Teacher, we know you're a man of integrity. We know that you speak the truth. Therefore, answer this question for us. Is it right to pay tax to Caesar or not?" Of course, this was a dangerous question for Jesus. If he said not to pay the taxes, he'd be in trouble with the Romans. If he said pay the taxes, he would offend his own people. But Jesus, the clever fellow that we know him to be, knew exactly what to say. "You hypocrites," he says, "why are you trying to trap me?" And then he asked them, of course, to show him the coin. Whose image and whose name does it bear? Pay Caesar what is Caesar's. But the important part of what Jesus says, he says, give to God what is God's. When those who came to trap him heard this, they were amazed and they went away. Supporting our government is part of our responsibility as citizens. We may or may not agree with what our government spends our money on. That, of course, is our right and one of our most precious rights. Actually, it's a long-standing American tradition to make fun of government officials. John Adams, the founding father, once said, "In my many years, I have come to a conclusion that one useless man is a shame. Two useless men is a law firm. And three or more, that's Congress." Mark Twain once said, "Suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress." But then I repeat myself. And Will Rogers, he once said, "I don't make jokes. I just watch the government and report the facts." Now we can laugh because it's the only way we can really deal with our frustration. And so, though we may grumble, most of us understand the need to pay our taxes. We render under Caesar what is Caesar's. We can do so happily or not, still, it must be done. I read about a man a few years ago who gave quite happily to our government. His name was Stanley Newberg. Newberg had come to the United States as a small child, the son of poor Austrian immigrants. Newberg became quite wealthy, and at his death in 1986, his estate included $5.6 million in cash, which he bequeathed in its entirety to the United States government, with the words, "In deep gratitude for the privilege of residing and living in this kind of government, notwithstanding," he wrote, "many of its inequities." When the estate was settled, his $5.6 million went directly to the United States Treasury, where it lasted for about a minute and a half. Talk about a drop in the bucket. Still, we are obligated unto Caesar is what we render to Caesar. Rendering unto God, on the other hand, is entirely voluntary. Of course, that puts the church in a bit of a disadvantage. According to George Barna, the church statistician, one study shows that U.S. Christians give proportionately less today than they did during the Great Depression. Giving to Caesar is required by the state, but giving to God is completely voluntary. That puts God at a disadvantage. However, having said that, I must tell you that there is a new trend developing. Many people today are discovering the joy of what has been called radical generosity. Many people are discovering that money only brings happiness when they give it to a noble cause. We see that, of course, in the case of the very wealthy Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett, who are giving billions of dollars to worthy causes through foundations. But it is also true of regular, everyday people, people like you and people like me. I came across a story about a woman named Bev. Bev and her husband owned a nearby condo, which they rented to their daughter. One night, some kids were throwing mud balls, one of which happened to hit the condo's front window and shattered it. The daughter got the name and the phone number of the little boy who threw the mud ball, but when she finally reached his mother, it was apparent his family did not have the available funds to have the window repaired. The mother promised she would send the money when she could, but with both she and her husband out of work, it seemed unlikely that that was going to happen soon. And so Bev and her husband paid to have the window repaired. Several months passed, and Bev's daughter still had not heard a word from the kid's mom. Bev decided to call the woman herself. "It was a couple of days before Thanksgiving," she explained, "and I was preparing to do our final grocery shopping for the big day. But something prompted me to place the call before I left the house." Bev reached the boy's mother that day, but instead of pressuring her into making good on the funds for the repair of the window, Bev heard herself ask something entirely different. "I was just heading out to the grocery store," she said. "May I bring you a Thanksgiving meal?" Shocked by her own spurt of compassion, Bev then went to the store, purchased two of everything her family would be enjoying on Thanksgiving, and with a genuine sense of joy, dropped off overflowing bags at the woman's house en route back home. Can you imagine how this unemployed mother must have been touched by this spontaneous gift of generosity from a woman she'd never met and to a woman she owed money? Now let me ask you a question. Who do you think had the best Thanksgiving that year? The family that received the free groceries or Bev and her family? You know the answer. This is a secret that only a few people ever discover. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. Let me give you one other example. A man came to his pastor and said, "I don't know what's wrong with my life, but my life doesn't bring me joy as it once did. I still live a moral life and I go to church, but how can I recover the joy I once knew?" His pastor said, "This is what you should do. Go to the store and buy a big basket full of groceries, and then go to an address of a poor family that I will provide you. Then, when you've given your gift, you sit down with them and find out what else they need. Let them know that you're interested in them and that you want to be their friend. Then lead them in the Lord's Prayer before you leave, and your joy will be restored." And that's just what the man did, and it worked. Radical generosity. It's the secret of a blessed life. Of course, radical generosity is part of what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus gave his all. He rendered everything he had, and everything he had, he gave to God. That is why we worship him today. And that is why we seek after radical generosity in our own lives. I love those stories of simple people helping out people in need. There are many people who miss the joy of giving simply and solely because they are afraid that they need to save up for a rainy day that never ever comes. If people would only trust God to provide for their needs, then they could and they would discover the joy of radical generosity in their giving to God and to those who are deeply and most in need. Render under Caesar, my friends, what is Caesar's? Not much choice there. Render under God, what is God's? That is where the joy lies. My friends, don't miss out on that joy. Amen.